You are listening to the Robert Scott Bell Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Robert Scott Bell Show.
Oh, look at all these trillions of dollars debt, lost jobs, and foreclosed homes.
Did I do that?
You dug yourself a hole and you crawled in it.
Robert Scott Bell.
How did the Department of Homeland Security get into the medical business?
Joe, we have a potential pandemic.
A national health emergency.
The sky is falling. A piece of it just hit me on the head.
Robert Scott Bell.
We will make this the most honest, ethical, and open Congress in history.
Is there any insanity in your family?
Do we have the power to tell people what they have to eat every day?
Senator Coburn, today,
Junior?
Taking on bureaucrats and corporations that would stand in the way of health freedom and making sense out of medical propaganda. The voice of health, freedom, and liberty, Robert Scott Bell.
Good morning and good afternoon, wherever you're listening to the Robert Scott Bell Show as we kick it off. Don, you with me?
I am. Isn't it interesting how it's good morning for me and quite often good afternoon for you?
Yes, I know. It's amazing these time zones that we do a lot in a short period of time or in simultaneous time zones. And we just got to deal with it. I can't think about it or my head will explode. Wait a second. There's a story about exploding teenagers.
Yes, this headline made me laugh. You know, we go through headlines and you just come across something that you just have to read. And I'm sure that's why they word these the way they do. But the headline reads, fizzy drinks may make teens explode.
Now, you know, you're going to have a lot of parents going, here, drink some more.
Yeah.
So, you teenagers, come on. Get out. Yes. Well, it's not a literal explosion. What they're talking about is anger, fits of violence. You know, the fizzy drinks. It's not the fizzy lifting drinks from Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, is it? It's no fizzy carbonated beverages sweetened with high fructose corn syrup, the citric acid. Who knows what preservatives are there? Who knows what else is in there? But, you know, this acknowledgement is, you know, long overdue. What we're talking about here, and they're not saying it in the article, Don, is that these kids, this is facilitating the hypoglycemia, which facilitates what? The angry outbursts, the violent behavior, the Columbine issues. You know, we've tied it beyond the fizzy lifting drinks or the fizzy depressant drinks into, all of course, the antidepressants, the antipsychotic drugs from Ritalin to SSRI drugs, but they're not exactly acknowledging in any way, shape, or form the hypoglycemia, the severe drop in blood sugar that then the lower brain of these baseline animal teenagers, who can, hey, they can function. I've got an almost teenager, a couple of years away. Sometimes you wonder, they get there early.
Just wait.
Yeah, exactly. But
I'll give you some tips on that one.
Yes, you know I'm calling you on those things already. Just going, all right, what do I got to look for here? Because it looks like we're getting there early. But the hypoglycemia issue is completely ignored by this article and many others, although they do acknowledge the ingredients of these soft drinks may contribute, but they don't acknowledge why or what or anything that really would be helpful.
Right. Well, and it's interesting because they do reference in the article, if you remember back, it was many, many years ago. Remember the defense that Dan White came up with when he killed Harvey Milk and George Moscone? They called it the Twinkie defense.
Right, right.
And this is what the defense was based on, was that he had had a cramming session of Twinkies and sugary food, and this caused him to become violent. And he used that as his defense for getting voluntary manslaughter charges instead of murder against killing Harvey Milk and George Moscone in San Francisco.
Yeah, and there is legitimacy to some semblance of the defense, because if you starve your higher brain of sugars, you know, the food that it needs, the energy that it needs, your lower brain takes over. That's the animal brain. And you don't know right or wrong anymore. Even if you've been trained in it, you're at that point an uncontrolled animal. Now, I sent my son, he had his overnight again. He's a black belt now, and a year ago he had the test, and this year he got to help conduct the test as a black belt to help out for the senior Browns. And so he had to do an overnight event. And, I, you know, last time he could barely stay awake. This time he's a year older. And I sent him there with some yerba mate this time and also some organic chocolate. I was like, help him stay awake. What does he do? Does he drink the yerba mate? No, he eats the organic chocolate.
Of course.
But thankfully, of course, they're sparring in the middle of the night. He comes home bruised and battered. But, you know, there they can take out the violence in a safe environment. And if we could get more of these kids in the martial arts, perhaps it would be, an outlet for them, I would like to see. But still, acknowledge that when you drop the blood sugar precipitously because of the high influence of refined carbohydrates, simple sugars, corn syrup, etc., you are going to stress the pancreas. You're going to deplete the GTF chromium stores that may or may not even be in the body of these children, which is why we come back and say, hey, what can we do here? We can do homeopathic lycopodium, homeopathic iris, and the GTF chromium. I mean, if my kids are going to eat some massive sweets, I'll actually crunch up, like, here, it's coming to Halloween. Here's the best thing you can do. Call up Jonathan at Choose to Be Healthy at 866-424-1077 and say, Jonathan, rush me overnight. Somehow get it to me fast, the GTF chromium. Crunch up, if your kids can't take a little tablet, crunch it up, put it into something. Along with that candy, I'm not endorsing candy, but you understand that if they're going to have to deal with all of the refined sugars, they need the glucose tolerance factor chromium in their system. Give them 100 micrograms, and you're going to see they're going to manage it much, much better. Did I do something really awful by saying that, Don, by the way? Is that going to be, you know, they're going to hold that against me? Oh, you're endorsing candy, Robert.
No. I got it.
Okay. I'm trying to give some positive options here for kids so we don't have any violent Halloween candy attacks.
Now, Robert, here's something else that I could not help myself. I had to bring up. Did you know that hot dogs are good for you?
Well, what do you mean hot dogs are good for you?
Absolutely. I learned something new this morning. Did you know that hot dogs have vitamin C in them?
I thought they have nitrites. Nitrites.
They do, but there's a story this morning. We talked about this, a few months ago, about how they thought they had found a link between hot dogs and colon cancer.
Yeah, that's been out for a while, because of the nitrates and other things in there.
They've come out with a new study saying that now we're not sure if hot dogs are linked to colon cancer, but the thing that jumped out at me in this article from Health Day News is that it says that a U.S. government requirement that vitamin C or one of its close relatives be added into hot dogs.
Oh, my God. They mandate ascorbate or erythrobate in hot dogs. So
I never knew that vitamin C had been required to be put into hot dogs. Well, Who would ever think that, hey, I need some vitamin C. Let's go grab an Oscar Mayer wiener.
Well, Codex Alimentarius is going to end up banning hot dogs then because we can't have supplements. The FDA is going to, now really go after hot dogs. It wasn't bad enough with the nitrates. It took them years to get that, but now it's got vitamin C. Well, actually, it's weird. I mean, they mandate it. And in this, I'm reading down here in this story, they say that it didn't reduce the rate of colon cancer, but it seems to have reduced the mortality rate to colon cancer. So eating hot dogs won't prevent colon cancer, but if you have it, you might not die as quickly.
Well, bottom line for me is if you don't know eating a hot dog is going to be bad for you in some way, then you need some education.
I am not prescribing hot dogs for anybody, all right?
Yeah, especially for vitamin C. But yeah, very interesting. It was all the way back in 1978 that the FDA mandated that the meat industry had to include vitamin C or what they say, vitamin C or its close cousin, which I don't know if that's vitamin D. I mean, what's the cousin of C?
Which alphabet letter?
E or, I don't know.
Another chemical form, and of course C is an antioxidant. I think that's why they did it, but it's bizarre. At the same time, they would acknowledge or disavow knowledge that antioxidants actually help you. They do.
Yes.
But of course now we have bigger fish to fry or things to be scared about or prevent. Jerry Brown telling everybody get your HPV shot and moms, if you're not going to do it, we're going to make sure that those kids get it. And it turns out
HPV.
Yeah, it carries all this ability to cause everything, including now cardiovascular disease.
Yes. And, this is one of those things where it just, when they're trying to promote something, it doesn't matter what it is. We've seen it when they're talking about bariatric surgery. It's great for this and it's great for that. It makes everybody happy and makes everybody lose weight and solves all these problems, or flu shots or whatever. Yeah. Now with the HPV, they're obviously trying to push the HPV shots in any way that they can.
Yeah.
And so they find everything in the world that they can link it to.
Well,
and so now they're saying HPV is linked to cardiovascular disease.
Right. It's going to give you high cholesterol and high blood pressure. Get your shots, everybody. everybody get your shots. And of course, Jerry Brown just got $8,000 in his campaign reelection coffers or something not too long after he passed or signed that bill into law in California.
This is more
scum crony capitalism or crapitalism, and it's just disgusting. And of course, the flu shot, they're preying on the people. I was talking with my son this morning on the way to drop him off at school about the flu shot. He says, "Dad, can they inject silver right instead of flu shots?" I said, "Yes, son. There are doctors that do intravenous silver for things like that." He says, "Yeah, that's better." And then he just, takes a pretend spray bottle and says, "Yes, this is what I do instead of the flu shot." And he, sprays a pretend silver spray into his mouth. I mean, I love it that, will there be a day, Dad, when people won't fall prey to, he didn't say fall prey, but won't be stupid enough to take a flu shot? I said, "Yes, son, eventually it'll be obvious to everyone. But a lot of people have to be hurt, unfortunately, before that happens." I'm watching my son, develop, his intellect. I love the fact he's asking questions. He wakes up this morning and says, "Dad, is there any real money in America anymore?" Because I'm reading him the book, Whatever Happened to Penny Candy. We read it when he was little, but he didn't get it then. It's pretty heady stuff, but it's like written. Richard Mayberry writes like an uncle to a nephew. And now he's getting it, and he's thinking about it. He wakes up in the morning and starts asking questions. It's fun to see this development. This is the good side of growing these kids.
Nice.
I
think we've got a health freedom fighter in training there.
Yeah, no, really cool stuff. Anyway, but nice. The calls that are coming in, and we got 866-939-BELL to the Robert Scott Bell Show, 24 hours, 7 days a week. You can leave a message. We got an interesting call that just came in yesterday. Evidently, there's some flu propaganda on the rise coming from the Veterans Administration. And, they don't pick on the veterans enough, do they? I mean, this is something that is amazing. As the general population that listens to this, we're not on the Armed Forces Network, or else we'd get less people involved in the military getting these flu shots. But the VA is now targeting you. Go ahead and listen to the propaganda coming off of this call here.
"Hi, Robert. This is Liberty from upstate New York. I thought you'd like to hear some propaganda from the VA. There was a robocall. And you ought to hear this message.
Thursday, 4:52 p.m.
Hi, I'm Dr. Cynthia Carlin, Chief of Infectious Disease at the Stratton VA.
She's so cheery.
It's that time of year again. It's flu season. Each year in
she's
the U.S.,
so happy.
The flu causes more than 36,000 deaths.
Lie. She said the lie. The 36,000 deaths.
We debunked that a long time ago.
Oh, and she's a doctor, though.
200,000 hospitalizations.
Lie.
Your best protection.
Best.
A simple annual flu shot.
Another lie.
Free to all veterans.
Free.
VA.
Yeah, of course,
free.
That means the rest of the people have to pay for it, or Ben Bernanke covers it.
Contact your primary care provider to schedule your flu shot today. Getting your flu shot now will help arm you against the flu. Keep yourself and your family in good health. Schedule your flu shot today."
Yeah, we all have mercury deficiencies, you dunderheaded doctor from the VA. This is the garbage we have to put up with every day.
This is the Grim Reaper from CVS Pharmacy calling.
Yes, that's the truth in labeling. Listen, we got to take a break here. We've got Jonathan Emord, the FDA Dragon Slayer, coming up. We're going to talk about Ron Paul's realism, and we're going to talk with Liam Sheff a little later about the Occupy the Environment movement as well. Lots of good healing things coming up on the Robert Scott Bell Show. RobertScottBell.com, NaturalNewsRadio.com. Rocking the health world. Back after this.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Hello, this is Jonathan Wagner. We have an internet website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, that carries many of the products discussed on Robert's show, including 100% whole food chromium and selenium, silica, as well as sovereign silver and Nordic naturals. Choosetobehealthy.com features the Rolls Royce of probiotics. It's Dr. O'Hara's probiotics. Dr. O'Hara, a world-renowned microbiologist, formulated a unique probiotic that blends ancient Japanese fermentation methods with 21st century technology. No refrigeration is needed. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics contains the strongest lactic acid bacteria known to man based on scientific laboratory research. 6.25 times stronger. Quite simply, it works and works very well. So go to our website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, or call us toll-free, 866-424-1077. That's 866-424-1077. We're here to help.
What nutrition are you missing that's leading to the four major diseases? Cancer, arthritis, heart disease, and Parkinson's. There are at least 80,000 medical studies that show a lack of the protein glutathione to be linked to cancer, heart disease, Parkinson's, macular degeneration, lung disease, digestive diseases, diabetes, Alzheimer's, ALS, rheumatoid arthritis, and lupus. In all, at least 68 diseases. What is the number one food by which your body is most empowered to increase its glutathione production? It is undamaged whey protein from grass-fed cows. One World Whey is truly the first undamaged whey protein. All other whey protein powders are damaged by heat, chemicals, and filtration. One World Whey is the most life-giving whey protein powder ever produced. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldwhey.com. That's oneworldwhey.com.
Information is so good, it requires no expiration date. The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Joining us now, the FDA Dragon Slayer, my dear friend, Jonathan Emord. And Jonathan, this is something that's amazing. Ron Paul, who's running for president, as we know, we've talked about him for years. You've actually written legislation for him as well. And he came up with this thing, Restore America Plan, cutting $1 trillion off the budget in the first year of a Ron Paul presidency. Now, the left side of the spectrum is freaking out, but those in the Republican Party don't know what to make of it because he's actually doing something or proposing. Even Rush Limbaugh had to admit, who's pretty much neoconish in so many ways and didn't give Ron Paul much time of day, said, yeah, Ron Paul's the only guy talking about this.
You know, I talk about this today in my article on newswithviews.com called Ron Paul's Realism. You see, unlike most politicians, Ron Paul gets it. He is a realist. He understands that the nation within the next 3 or 4 years is going to face the worst financial crisis in its history unless we make the cuts necessary to save the country. And a trillion is the minimum necessary to save the nation over the next 3 years. He would balance the budget within that time and would also transform the federal government from a bloated, out-of-control, authoritarian government back to a republic. So he's a realist, and unlike other politicians, he's explaining the real problem. He's telling people like it is that it actually will be, this nation will be a part of history unless we are able to eliminate this enormous debt that by the year 2020, the debt would be at about $24 trillion. The interest on that debt would consume the entire discretionary budget of the United States. We would simply be a nation overwhelmed by debt, and no plan in existence other than Ron Paul's seriously examines the question and attacks it. And what's quite extraordinary about it is that the media, which should be probing this question in every candidate's case, demanding to know what is going to be done, what are you going to do to save the nation from economic oblivion.
Yes.
It's going to occur so quickly because we're rapidly accelerating $1.4 trillion debt added year after year after year and looking at insolvency very soon. Why don't we do something? Don't they press the question, what exactly are you going to do? What departments will you close? What agencies will you eliminate? What will you do with Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security? How are you going to prevent this country from endlessly falling into the abyss of debt?
Yeah.
And the only person running for president who has the answer to that question is Ron Paul. You know, with Ron Paul, I would say if you're going to criticize his plan, then present an alternative that would achieve a balanced budget. Tell me what you would do to balance the budget. What departments will you cut? What agencies will you cut? What will you do to Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security? Because if you don't address all of those things like he does, then you can't be taken seriously because you are not presenting a plan that will achieve a balanced budget. You're not doing what is necessary to save the nation from economic ruin. There's one question on the ballot in 2012, and that is, who will save the United States from economic oblivion?
That is the question, I think. Is that Ron Paul calling? He should be. He hears his ears are burning when we're talking about him in this way.
That is the hotline.
It is. We're going to find out who that might be. Now, Jonathan, if we talk about this plan, I mean, he's literally calling out the Republican Party for the statist party that it has become. I mean, it has the rhetoric, but in reality, it is bloated and grown government in ways maybe slightly different than the Democratic Party. But come on, this is the only guy that's really serious here.
He is, and he's courageous. You know, his whole career is marked by courage. He takes a position because it's right, not because it's politically popular, not because it will gain him financial support from special interests. He has, throughout his career, been courageous enough to do what is necessary for the nation. And there is no more critical time for the United States in recent history, and probably in the history of the country, than right now. And yet no candidate is articulating a clear plan to eliminate this monstrous debt except for Ron Paul. Now, what Ron Paul's doing, whether he wins or not, is setting the benchmark. He's pushing all of the candidates to recognize first, to admit to the dire circumstance in which the United States finds itself. We can't wait another 4 years to determine what we're going to do then. We have to act now. We've got to get rid of the turkey in the White House who's not doing anything to solve this problem and put in somebody who will dedicate themselves 24/7 to achieving the objective of paring down the federal government to a size that's affordable. Otherwise, you know, the only other alternative is absolutely ruinous and wouldn't work, and that is to tax the nation $1.4 trillion. You tax the nation $1.4 trillion. You increase taxes that high to bring in that sort of revenue, and you will push the nation from a dire recession into a depression. You will destroy the engine of economic progress essential to get us out of this thing. The only solution is to cut back the government dramatically. And Ron Paul would even lower taxes. He would lower the corporate income tax to 15%, and that would inspire economic growth. It would cause jobs to be created in much larger numbers than the socialist programs that are being offered by the president.
Yes.
And it would bring about an economic recovery. And Ron Paul on the economy gets it.
Yeah, and Jonathan even said how we repatriate the funds that are overseas by eliminating the penalty, just bring it back. And it would allow another resurgence of influx of this. I think their plan, as we've seen, because of the Federal Reserve and its ability to control and own and both parties, was to always inflate their way out of the debt. It was always to devalue the currency. And eventually, of course, if you're talking about the level of debt we're talking about without these corrections, inevitable hyperinflation, wheelbarrows of money was coming down the pike.
Right. You know, you look at a really good read and something for people to contemplate is Ron Suskind's Confidence Men, where he explains in detail the men around Obama and the women, too, who are given short shrift. He talks about sexual discrimination in the White House, but he has these people around him who were all basically cronies with Wall Street. They came out of Wall Street. They were very, very much committed to particular people and firms in Wall Street. And so we dumped trillions of dollars into Wall Street directly and indirectly through the Fed, directly through the Wall Street bailout. And what happened with all of this is nothing. I mean, you've got the same situation continuing to fester. You have some minor reforms made internally from these firms, but by and large, the same dynamics that brought us into this mess remain. And the problem is that, you know, this didn't jumpstart the economy. It did absolutely nothing. It lined the pockets of particular high rollers on Wall Street. It didn't do anything for the nation. We spent this nation into a massive debt, and it's a case of a leaderless government. I mean, you've got a president who really isn't capable of proven himself incapable of doing what is necessary to save the nation. He has to cut spending. He has to do it dramatically, and yet he doesn't offer anything to do that. In fact, the biggest programs he proposes are ones for enormous increases in spending, like his present jobs bill. That's not going to save this nation from economic ruin. He is not taking care of the middle class. He's burying it in debt.
Yeah, we don't have a, let's say, a revenue problem technically. I mean, as Ron Paul says, we're bringing in, what, $2 trillion a year or something. The issue is spending, cutting spending, and he's the only one serious about it. Now, if we assess the rest of the field, let's say the Republican field, or at least some of them that they claim to be the front runners, we know that Herman Cain, who's a former Federal Reserve chairman in Kansas City, and we also have Mitt Romney. Mitt Romney's primary top three donors are basically Goldman Sachs and part of the financial industry that brought us to the brink of this collapse to begin with. So how do we expect that they're going to do anything different than previous presidents, Republican or Democrat?
Well, it's a situation where other than Ron Paul, there really isn't a candidate who's offering a solution to these problems in detail. They are speaking in platitudes about how the debt is terrible and how we have to lower taxes in order to spur on economic growth. But all of these things are insufficient in and of themselves to solve this enormous problem. We need someone who can clearly articulate what the answers are. And unfortunately for those who are not supportive of Ron Paul, I am, as you know, Ron Paul is it. So you really have to get on his bandwagon. And I would like to see all of the Republican candidates endorse Ron Paul's plan and make it a part of their own platform, giving us comfort that whoever would win would be committed to that. But unfortunately, you've got two basic problems. One is you don't have that sincere ideological purity as exists in Ron Paul in any of the other candidates, with some possible exceptions. But then secondarily, you've got a situation, as you point out, where a lot of these candidates have connections to parties and to interests that make it seem as though when they get in office, they're not going to fulfill the mission, which is to get this budget cut down dramatically. In any event, when it comes to the 2012 elections, it's going to be anybody but Obama.
Yeah,
I mean, the basic rule will be anybody but the guy who's in there, who's already added. When he went into office, he had $4 trillion in debt. Now he's over $9 trillion. He's added. I mean, you know, we have a debt that's astronomical, $14.5 trillion, and getting worse every year. And he has no he's presented, despite all the years he's been in office, not one balanced budget, not one proposal to reach a balanced budget. And he's added the Obamacare, and he's added all of these bailout plans and massive increase in the bureaucracy. This is unsustainable. Even Alice Rivlin, who's economic counselor to President Clinton, has said that this budget is absolutely unsustainable. And yet Obama does nothing to change course. He's dedicated to massive expansion of the federal government. So anybody but Obama, yes, but hopefully someone will come out of the Republican primaries that is trained in economics sufficient to understand what has to be done.
Yes.
We need somebody who knows what to do. And unfortunately, other than Ron Paul, it isn't there. Now, Ron Paul is a person who is dedicated. He's courageous. He would do whatever is necessary to ensure that this nation survives. He truly loves this nation, and he truly understands economics.
Yeah. Jonathan, we got to take a quick break here, but I want to, you know, in assessing the Republican field, I see a way that, in fact, Obama could get a second term. That's not a thrilling prospect to me, but I want to talk to you about that, as well as other aspects of the economic demise inevitable of the Republic if we continue course, and that is including foreign policy that Obama had doubled down on. Very revealing things that are occurring that Ron Paul has predicted. And we're going to do that more after this break. Jonathan Ebord is my guest, the FDA Dragon Slayer. We've got a lot more healing to do on political, economic, and legal levels, lawful levels, any level we got. We're going to cover it this hour with Jonathan Ebord. Check him out at ebord.com. I have the links up at robertscottbell.com. Stay with us. Coming right back.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Since the 1920s, people around the world have been using radio frequencies to safeguard the health of themselves and their families. Through this tested technology, pioneered by Royal Raymond Rife, researchers have found that specific radio frequencies can eliminate viruses, bacteria, molds, and parasites without harming normal healthy cells. Frequency technology could help millions now suffering from various infections, even arthritis, herpes, Lyme disease, and other painful chronic conditions. The BCX Ultra Frequency Instrument has been developed over a period of 30 years. The BCX Ultra is one of the most powerful healing tools ever. Turn ill health around. Enjoy life again. Start learning about the BCX Ultra today. Visit bioelectricsforhealth.com or call 1-800-936-6240. That's 1-800-936-6240. Call today and start the healing.
For thousands of years, silver has played an essential role in safeguarding human health. Robert Scott Bell Show listeners know that Sovereign Silver Bioactive Silver Hydrosol is the purest and most effective form of silver available. Only Sovereign Silver contains the smallest and most active particles in every bottle, each batch rigorously safety tested to guarantee the highest quality. At only 10 parts per million, Sovereign Silver outperforms other colloidal silvers 50 times more concentrated. Sovereign Silver acts faster than echinacea, oil of oregano, and other immune products. Tastes like water and has more uses than anything else for the immune system. And Sovereign Silver now comes in a topical first aid gel. Use Sovereign Silver gel on cuts, scrapes, minor burns, bug bites, itching, eczema, diaper rash, and more. Sovereign Silver is the number one selling silver brand in the U.S. For a free information packet to order or for a store near you, call 888-328-8840. That's 888-328-8840 or visit sovereignsilver.com.
Did you know that your hormones can be rejuvenated without cancer-causing hormone replacement, including bioidentical HRT? This is Dr. Teresa Dale inviting you to take action with my natural homeopathic formulas. Get relief and balance back into your life. My formulas help heal a variety of health conditions, including menopause or low T. You know you have the power to heal your body and mind, and yes, my system and products will help you do that. They have been proven with thousands of people in before and after saliva tests. You can actually get a saliva test sent to you today, or just start using our formulas for optimal wellness. Learn more at wellnesscenter.net or naturalhealingpro.com, and you can always give us a call at 800-219-1261.
Robert Scott Bell.
Let's take a walk on the wild side.
Alrighty then.
You're everywhere, baby. Radio, TV, the papers. Am I right?
Robert Scott Bell.
Continuing on now with Jonathan Ebord. And Jonathan, the story of the economic demise is what, you know, we're really hitting here heavily. I'm concerned about if indeed Ron Paul is not the nominee. We know the loyal following and the fervent following that he has generated among the young people, among anybody that has really realized that how distinct and different Ron Paul is from any of the other politicians. He's a statesman and he really means what he says. He says what he means. If indeed you get a Republican corporatist like Romney in there, or even Kane or whoever's, I don't know, I don't think Perry's going to make it, but at this point, I think, you know, the people that follow Ron Paul are not going to hold their noses and vote for anybody but Obama in the context of, oh, let's just get the Republican in there. I think they could sit out or find a third party or write in Ron Paul anyway, and that could end up delivering Obama another 4 years. What's your thought?
Well, that's right. I mean, people have to use the same realism that is a part of Ron Paul's character and fiber. I'm sure Ron Paul, if he was not the Republican nominee, would want anybody who was electable but Obama to get into office. He would not be pleased to see a person who was sympathetic to government growth and to maintaining these debts, but he certainly would be interested in having someone who is at least open to the entreaties from his supporters, because he has built a army of some 10% of the Republican Party and a very large segment of the independent voters,
yes,
who support him and who understand his policies and who are equally adamant about changing the direction of this country, they will have an enormous role to play in the Republican Party and in a presidency of any Republican. Unlike the Bush years, they have formed a cohesive and very dedicated body of people because of Obama's actions. He has helped solidify and move people into Ron Paul's camp. And that's a powerful political force he's wielding. He is it's an undeniable force. They can not long write off these people. These are the most intelligent and driven people in the Republican Party and in among independents. These people are very much concerned about saving this nation. So for any president who's a Republican –
yes.
To ignore or not try to satisfy
at their own
the
peril,
of these people,
they do that.
They're behaving in a very perilous way.
Yes.
They couldn't get reelected unless they deal with this. This is the intellectual heart and soul of the Republican Party. The Tea Party movement has become the heart and soul of the Republican Party, and the Tea Party movement is very much a Ron Paul movement. There are certain factions that like Michelle Bachmann.
Right.
Sorry about that. and there are also, others that are interested for whatever reason in other candidates. But in the end, they all share this common commitment that the nation has to dramatically reduce its spending, and that there has to be a detailed plan to save this nation from economic oblivion, and they appreciate that we are not far from that time when that will happen. So I think we have to vote against Obama. We have to remove him from office. Otherwise, it's a foregone conclusion. So it's sad that we don't have anyone other than Ron Paul who can do what Ron Paul can do. I wish Ron Paul were at the head of the party. It's still possible that he could win.
Yeah.
But if he doesn't, then we've got to vote against Obama in order to.
And I
don't know what's going to happen.
No, I know. This is the thing. As I say, if they ignore, and the Republicans have done a level best to try and ignore and diminish and ridicule and marginalize those that follow Ron Paul. But now we're seeing the tide shifting. As I said, some of the neocon conservative talk radio guys, like even Sean Hannity, have warmed up to Ron Paul over the last couple of years. And I'm not saying he's an intellectual heavyweight, but they do hold sway out there with a lot of people that vote that way. But if they ignore Ron Paul and continue through this and think that they're going to beat Obama without that crowd, forget it. They're going to have to, make Ron Paul like some kind of high level cabinet position. Again, I'm speculating here, but I want to transition to the foreign policy issue of the debt, because Ron has said, for years, like George Washington warned us about entangling alliances and such. We are very much promoting the defense of the country. Ron Paul has never been soft on defense. He doesn't want to cut defense spending, but he said militarism, corporatism on that level, the military-industrial complex, as Eisenhower warned us against as well. Look what is happening now. Just recently, all of this work in Afghanistan, Karzai comes out and says, listen, if there's a problem with the U.S., I'm siding with Pakistan. We've got an alliance, right? How about Libya? He'd go in with NATO, and he pretends it's not the U.S. when we provide the mass amounts of the budget for NATO. Go in and remove Muammar Gaddafi with a flu shot or something. And now we've got Sharia laws being threatened to be implemented there. That's not better. None of these situations are better. All of our entangling alliances in, quote-unquote, the defense of a nation are backfiring, just as Congressman Paul has been saying for years.
Well, we have in President Obama a person who is willing to use American military force in situations where it's not essential to our national security, and Ron Paul's pointed this out repeatedly. It is not the case that the United States should have been involved with Libya at all, because we had no interests. I mean, there was absolutely no reason to spend hundreds of billions of dollars in involving ourselves in Libya, and there was an enormous amount of reason not to be involved. In addition to that, I mean, the same can be said for Iraq and for Afghanistan. If there is a threat posed to American lives or to American interests that is significant, then we have a means to do to intervene and to take care of that threat. Does that require an army of occupation over 9 years? Does that require us to put 200,000-300,000 troops on the ground inside a country? Does it require us to insist on a particular kind of government and putting in people to try to advise and transform whatever preferences they have? Should we care whether or not there is an Islamic republic or there is an Islamic dictatorship or whatever in another country? Well, we should invite people to come to this country who wish to be free and who wish to be able to live in a country that is based on Lockean principles of republican government. But as far as the rest of the world is concerned, we really have no role to play in dictating to other people what kind of government they would have. And the only interest that we have is in protecting American lives, American property, and American interests. And when we act, we must act decisively, we must have a clear end game, and we must get out of there. And why it is that we thought that we needed to change the government in Iraq, institute a new government that was a puppet regime, and then watch as it will now be dismantled and torn apart by all the factions which would have happened 10 years ago had we not been there. I mean, unless we are going – I don't like this manner of indecision. I'm not in favor of taking over the entire planet. But if you were going to involve yourself in Iraq – to the degree that we did, we should have obliterated the country and called it a 52nd state. I mean, you don't have to, in order to preserve and protect American interests, you have to have a clearly defined mission in the world. When an American life is at stake, obliterate the turkeys who are taking American lives or capturing them or beheading these people. Obliterate them. When it comes to defending American property overseas, if someone seizes our property, seizes our access to a particular thing because we have an economic contract or right to it, yes, use the American military power, whatever is necessary, and obliterate those turkeys and make sure that we have access to it. But when it comes to a form of government that is adopted overseas or a particular ideology, we have no role to play. We're having a hard enough time trying to revive our own republic, and yet we run around the world telling people that you should have a Jeffersonian democracy here and there, and we don't even have it in our own country.
No.
We don't have a republic in our own country anymore. We have a bureaucratic oligarchy.
Yes.
So forget about that. That's not our business. Respect other people's rights to determine their own government and to give them a clear message, and that is – you can do whatever you want and have a nasty little government there and a wretched little regime and have people that are living in misery, and we wish it weren't so, and we have a higher standard we live to, and that's what we've adopted here in this country. But
if you
avoid hurting us, we won't kill you.
Yeah, and if a person really wants to help, there's no law in America that says you can't a private charity donate to relieve suffering around the world without stealing from your neighbor who may or may not wish to do the same.
Well, absolutely. And, you know, here we have a president who's contemplating severely restricting charitable contributions in Obama, and precisely the wrong thing to do. And it's because he believes in the state. I mean, he believes the state should take on this welfare role, not only for our own country, but for the world. Ron Paul's against foreign aid. I'm all with that. Why should the United States government be paying trillions of dollars to countries around the world? Why? Why should we be giving that largesse? Some would say, well, it's because we need to do that in order to keep American military bases here and there and so on. Well, with present technology, with the ability to use drones, to use unmanned aerial vehicles, unmanned submarine vehicles, unmanned ground vehicles, and the ability to use precision-guided missile systems and so forth, we have the ability to do whatever we have to do anywhere in the world, and we have no interest in armies of occupation anymore. That is old school. That is a historical phenomena that does not coexist, does not need to coexist in an environment where we can move anywhere rapidly within an hour.
Yeah.
And you know, it's
serving some other interest, Jonathan, that are hidden and secret, even though we can maybe can identify them. But as Ron Paul has said, that this foreign aid is evidence of taking money from poor people in America and giving it to rich people in foreign lands.
Well, that's right. A lot of this foreign aid is just sifted off, and it's used to finance these corrupt governments and the leaders of those governments. It's just like another Wall Street bailout bill. I mean, we've been doing it for decades. It's tribute. I mean, we just pay money. We know it's all being siphoned off. We pay it through AID. We pay it through direct payments to other countries. We buy their military systems for them. Let them buy their own military systems. Let them tax their own people to pay for their own military. What are we doing? Why
exactly
are we paying for their military systems? I mean, we should have our own military and have a strong military. And if we have to go into somewhere because somebody's threatening our interests, we can do that. But why do we have to build Israel's military? Why do we have to build India's military? Why do we have to pay Pakistan?
How much money did we give to Egypt for them to now, you know, Mubarak is gone and we've got a government not very friendly to America? That was a great investment as well.
Right.
Listen, we got to take a break here. One more segment with Jonathan Emord. We talked about interventionism on a foreign land basis. What about on a domestic land basis? Raw milk renegades, raw milk riders. We're going to ask the teacher in the lawful sense, Jonathan Emord, about the perspective of, legalizing freedom again here in America. Stand by. We're coming right back with Jonathan Emord.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Pharmacological research from universities all over the world have proven that papaya supplements have tremendous health benefits. At the One Stop Health Shop, that's one-stop-health-shop.com, you'll find our international bestseller, Papaya Leaf Extract. Its natural probiotic formula supports your white blood cells, reduces oxidative stress, and strengthens your immune system. Papaya is one of the richest sources of antioxidants in the world and up to 20 times more powerful than vitamin E. One Stop Health Shop carries a large fermented papaya product selection. Our supplements are all natural, certified organic, GMO-free, and made right here in Australia. But they are shipped to you anywhere in the world free of charge. Take advantage of our limited time down under prices and order now. Don't wait. Visit the One Stop Health Shop. That's one-stop-health-shop.com for all your nutraceutical needs and get free shipping on all products ordered. one-stop-health-shop.com.
Hi, this is Robert Scott Bell, and I want to tell you about my great friends at Enterfood.com. Like me, the folks at Enterfood are fighting the good fight for your total health freedom. Their super green energy drink, Enterfood, is full of natural ingredients like spirulina and chlorella, which can improve your immune system and detox you from harmful radiation. Enterfood was voted best superfood by Mike Adams and the Southwest College of Naturopathic Medicine. Enterfood.com is one-stop shopping for all your health and survival needs. Try their meal replacement product for those watching their weight. Organic immune support coffee, cocoa, coconut milk powder, and herbal tinctures for your every need. Enterfood.com now has developed a new survival preparedness pail packed with all organic, tasty, non-GMO foods to get you and your family through any disaster. All of these great products are now available to you for a 10% discount when you mention the Robert Scott Bell Show. Call them to order at 866-762-9238. That's 866-762-9238. Or go to our product page at Enterfood.com. That's Enerfood.com.
It's a long way to the top if you want to rock and roll.
Taking on bureaucrats and corporations that would stand in the way of health freedom. Here's Robert.
Wrapping it up here with one of my heroes in the health freedom movement, Jonathan Emord at emord.com, of course, the author of Global Censorship of Health Information, as well as The Rise of Tyranny. And if you ever get a chance to meet him, you'll do so hopefully at the next Health Freedom Expo out in Long Beach, California. That'll be, I believe, in March of 2012. We'll get together on that. Maybe we'll get to see him up there at the Raw Milk Freedom Ride that's coming up November 1st. But anyway, the idea of interventionism is not just a foreign thing that Ron Paul talks about. Domestic interventionism, like the FDA, the bureaucratic oligarchy you've written about so extensively, Jonathan, saying, hey, you can't transport raw milk, real milk, across state lines. I mean, it's bizarre what has happened here.
Well, it is. They've singled out a particular product, raw milk, saying that it is inherently dangerous, that those who drink it are basically, it would be in their minds, the equivalent of someone drinking, say, turpentine or something like that. And the basic problem with their whole theory here is that it could equally apply to any number of foods. I mean, you can say that if based on the same logic that steak tartare is inherently dangerous, that shellfish are inherently dangerous, that sushi is inherently dangerous, that chicken is inherently dangerous. The list is virtually endless. I mean, that raw vegetables are inherently dangerous, and also...
So why raw milk? I mean, honestly, you go back to that, it's like, well, why did they pick on raw milk? I mean, obviously, economic interest, influencing, buying, lobbying power, buying...
Well, without question, it's a case where... With the upsurge in consumer interest in organic products, which has been driving the grocery marketplace for some time now, I mean, there's a distinct segment of the buying audience for grocery goods that has peeled away from this general audience, which would be willing to consume all manner of things, processed foods. There's this segment that's growing and is economically powerful. They pay more than the basic cost of a food to assure themselves that they're acquiring something that is organic, that doesn't have GMOs in it, and so on. These people are a luxury segment of the food marketplace, and they're catered to by organic producers. And they were migrating and have been migrating to about 6 million of them that purchase raw milk into this raw milk area because they were getting wholesome raw milk that was from grass-fed cows that were not treated with antibiotics, that were healthy animals. They're made sure they roam freely on grass, foraging for themselves on grass, and care was taken in the production of these things, so that despite the fact that some 6 million people are consuming raw milk, it is the very rare event that individuals become ill from. It's not that it doesn't happen, but it also happens with pasteurized milk. It happens to be that milk, like meat, like all manner of fish and so forth, all of these things, of course, are media for the growth of bacteria. If they're not handled properly, they can have a problem. Now, let me give you a solution to this whole thing that the FDA could use. Instead of banning something outright, they're using the most draconian method possible. Declare it unlawful to move in interstate commerce, regardless of whether, in fact, it's contaminated. Declare the entire universe of all raw milk, all raw dairy, all raw cheese illegal, regardless of whether it is actually contaminated, and prohibit it nationwide. Now, if you took the same approach with all foods that are potentially sources of the growth of bacteria, then we'd have a very small universe of things to eat, certainly nothing organic.
No, so, I think that they would only approve Twinkies because they'll stay safe on a rail for 20 years. Nothing will grow.
But why not this? Milk, pasteurized milk is flash pasteurized. You raise it to a certain temperature for a small period of time. In fact, if you look on guides for methods of pasteurization, even from the FDA, they'll say raise it to 220 degrees for 3 seconds. Two seconds.
Yeah.
So you have this flash pasteurization. Well, of course, you could just simply put on the label, require on the label of raw milk the following notice. Raw milk may contain pathogens. In order to diminish the likelihood that you may become ill from consuming pathogens, you should cook the milk before you consume it and raise it to a temperature of X degrees for a period of so many seconds or minutes.
Right.
That's all they have to do.
And then
everybody has noticed that, hey, look, raw milk is this way. Of course, they ought to put something on pasteurized milk. It should say pasteurized milk may contain pathogens if left out or if not properly stored and so forth.
Yeah.
I mean, this can be ridiculous. On peanut butter, they don't require any labeling. The mass manufacturers of processed peanut butter are very powerful. They don't have any label there, and you have peanut allergies, which are quite common in, you know, not uncommon in the
right. And you can lead to death, anaphylaxis as well.
Exactly.
And the Amish farmers don't have a big lobby to protect themselves from these FDA sting operations, for which, by the way, if Ron Paul got his way and dropped it 40% in the first year, they couldn't afford to sting the people that are providing real food for real people.
Right. Ron Paul's bill pending right now would completely take away FDA jurisdiction over interstate trafficking of milk, would allow you to transport raw milk interstate. The only difference would be existing laws on adulteration would apply. So if somebody were to sell contaminated raw milk, well, they could be prosecuted. But the problem with the current system is it's a prior restraint on everyone who transports raw milk in interstate commerce, regardless of whether the milk is wholesome. And as a consequence, good guys are swept up in stings that are designed to stop this poison. I mean, how can raw milk be an inherent poison? It's been consumed since the history of man.
Have these people at the FDA and in Congress?
Around the world, it's consumed every single day. I mean, hundreds of millions of people worldwide are drinking raw milk.
I always bring this up. I said, has anybody at FDA, much less in Congress, ever read a Bible even? I mean, what do you think they were drinking in the Bible?
Right. No, they're not drinking raw milk. They're smoking something, Robert.
Gosh. It's an incredible thing, Jonathan. I mean, you know, the absurdities you have to deal with on a daily basis, how you maintain your sanity. I know how I do because I get to blast this stuff out 6 days a week and, you know, kind of cleanse my soul. But where do you go to just kind of release it, because it's insane the kind of people you're dealing with?
It's a part of the training that you have, I think, as a litigator. You can stand a lot of rubbish and learn to tolerate it and keep your mind focused on your objective. I find that venting my spleen through publication is a helpful thing. I have another book that's in the works, and I find that the reception that those things have had, knock on wood, has been so great that it reaffirms my belief in the American people. I you see all of these wayward courses that are taken by the nation, and you see hear all of this popular press suggesting that the nation is behind it. It's so comforting to get behind all of that propaganda and see in fact that the American people are a great, great people. We're enormously dedicated to the principles of liberty that founded this nation, and many, many tens of millions of Americans are greatly disappointed with their government and wish for a nation like the one that was founded in this country that makes liberty a centerpiece and makes individual sovereignty the most important aspect. And they're sick of government. They're sick of being overregulated. They're sick of being overtaxed. They're sick of a government that's not responsive to them, that runs by a bureaucratic oligarchy that has 9/10 of the law made by people they don't elect. This is where I get consolation or solace in the knowledge that the people of the United States are a truly great people. Sooner or later, we will force a change back in the direction of a republic. And I just hope to be able to write things that can make clear the direction to take in order to achieve that objective. So I've written these books, The Rise of Tyranny, Global Censorship of Health Information. Soon, another book will be coming out called Restore the Republic, where in detail I explain the foundational doctrines that the Founding Fathers gave us, the wayward course that the country has taken principally from the 1930s to the present, and how we can get back to a republic, what steps need to be taken in order to achieve that objective, and a concrete plan of action for us. It is frustrating, Robert, but I've learned to cope with it.
You have, and thank God you do, and you're doing the work there. I look forward to seeing you real soon. Restore the Republic, we're looking forward to that book for sure. Right now, Ron Paul's Realism is his latest article at newswithviews.com. I've got that linked up at the blog at robertscottbell.com. If you have any questions or comments ever, 866-939-BELL, 866-939-2355. RobertScottBell.com is the link. Of course, emord.com to get to Jonathan, which I link up as well. Jonathan, it's always a great honor to have you on board. I love the message of liberty that we get to share together.
Well, you're the greatest, Robert. You are the voice of health freedom, my friend.
Well, thank you, my friend. We've got a lot more healing to do, and it's time to remind you. Well, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back with another hour where I'll be joined for another in-depth discussion with Liam Sheff, and we're going to be covering a lot of economic and political issues, what's going on out there with Occupy Wall Street, Occupy the environment. Stunning information coming up. But in the meantime, just remember this, that the power to heal is yours.
The Robert Scott
the
Bell
Robert
Show.
Scott Bell Show.
Hey there, this is Mike. Got a couple of things you may want to check out. Did you know about the website counterthink.com? These are some really hilarious, freedom-oriented, health-oriented, even political cartoons that you got to check out. Counterthink.com. And if you want to know what's in your food, go check out foodinvestigations.com, where you've got a bunch of free mini documentaries, little videos there that you can watch that will show you what's in your food and what's not in your food. We talk about Total Blueberry Pomegranate Cereal made by General Mills. Did you know it has no blueberries in it and no pomegranates? We got the video right there on foodinvestigations.com. And if you really want to know what's in your food, your medicine, your personal care products, and so on, head over to naturalnews.com. We're publishing about 12 articles a day now, everything from healing superfoods to the dangerous chemicals in your products, foods, and medicines. Naturalnews.com. Check it out.
The information on the Robert Scott Bell Show has not been approved by the Food and Drug Administration and is not intended to prevent, cure, treat, or diagnose any disease. Nah, just kidding. As far as we're concerned, the FDA can kiss our
ass. Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Robert Scott Bell Show.
Things really suck, but you know what? If it wasn't for me, they would suck worse.
What are you talking about? What do you mean by that?
Robert Scott Bell.
No family making less than $250,000 a year will see any form of tax increase.
That's a lie. That's just an outright lie.
Why don't you tell the people the truth for a change?
Robert Scott Bell.
I don't know why people on the other side are so doggone stupid that they think that the federal government's going to produce jobs.
Stupid is, stupid does, sir.
I want to see that we guarantee that this generation is healthier.
If you want to go to a naturopath or a homeopath, no. That's not approved by the government.
Taking on bureaucrats and corporations that would stand in the way of health freedom and making sense out of medical propaganda. The voice of health, freedom, and liberty, Robert Scott Bell.
Joining me now on the Robert Scott Bell Show, the troublemaker himself. That's right, the conspiracy realist, investigative journalist, Liam Sheff. Back from the field. You've been on quite a mission doing the GMO event we did a couple of weeks ago, and now you've been out in the field with the Occupy Wall Streeters. What are they occupying the environmentalist movement to? What's going on out there, Liam?
Yeah, they evacuated. They occupied, they occupied the environmental movement, this, small as it was, down here in Florida on the weekend, and I was invited to come and hang out. So I showed up, and I had gone to the Occupy Fort Lauderdale thing, was it a week earlier, and we talked about my experiences, and I was more than a little disappointed with the notion that people were putting forward. They felt like Clintonians from 1994-6, you know, trying to get him reelected. Oh, we all have to be on mission. We all have to be on point. Let's get our talking points in order. I thought, wait a second. You're talking about Wall Street. Can we talk about money? Can we talk about what money is? You want to talk about the tax program, the tax protocol in this country? Do you want to talk about all of that Byzantine maze of nonsense that the IRS puts people through at the end of every year to take the money that they've already worked for? Do you want to talk about anything like that? No. We want corporations to be nicer, and we want corporations to have, like a charter of things they're going to do, like for the environment and people. And it was this sort of thing. I'm thinking, don't you just want to defund this thing by reducing the power of the federal government to fund corporations? Don't you want to defund corporations by making sure that Washington, D.C. isn't the center of the world? Because when Washington, D.C. is the center of the world, all the lobbyists from all the corporations get their millions of dollars, and they go where? To Washington, D.C., to go to Georgetown, do as many pharmaceutical drugs as they can, have as many lunches as they can, fly to Dubai, whatever it is, you get it. No. We want – now, there were some people there who got it. I'm being overly broad, as is my nature. But that was sort of disappointing. So I went to the environmental rally.
And this isn't – is it an offshoot of the Occupy Wall Street thing, or is this a completely separate thing?
Different thing, but okay. They occupied each other. And I thought it was a protest, so I went there sort of like, okay, good. Hey, look, we treat the environment very badly. We do.
Right.
We're awful to it in this country, in the world, in the Western world, the mechanized world. Most of the diseases that we have, from polio to AIDS to SARS to all of these things, are really environmental toxicological problems.
Correct. Yes.
They're industrial problems. Most of the cancer, a lot of the cancers that we have are well understood to be industrial problems. So it's very real, and I thought that's what it was about. I went, and there were people protesting vivisection. Look, I'm not in favor of vivisection. You can do better scientific experiments without torturing animals. You can test cosmetics without torturing animals. It's easy. People know how to do it now. And I support all, and I'm actually a vegetarian. I mean, I don't call myself a vegan because the vegan politics are too much for me to handle. I've heard vegans say I'd save a dog before I saved a human. And I think, well, you're a criminal then, actually. You're insane. You've crossed the line. You see, you've lost touch with the fact that we're a human species. We actually have to look out for each other. But, hey, I hate factory farming. It's vicious. It's cruel. It's awful. It's disgusting. And you shouldn't eat it because you're eating cancer. Yeah, I mean, you go into those places. These animals have cancer. You're eating it. Don't do it. So, I go. Right. Yeah. Well, get to the point, kid.
No, this is good. I like the story because you're out there gaining experience and interacting with people, not just third hand at all in this case. Because, you know, we can kind of speculate on people. That's one thing. But I really want to get into the heart of it. Do these people get it? And like, I was fascinated by your interactions with the Occupy Wall Streeters that, you know, most of them really didn't get to the heart of the matter. It was more or less, we got to just keep doing this forever, as if that was going to satisfy who, what? Just them, their ego? I don't know.
Yeah, venting their spleen. I have a spleen to vent, and I'm going to vent it. So I went out, and it looked like a protest to me. There were people banging drums. They had signs, stop vivisection, stop, don't build a nuclear power plant. Hey, we've covered that. Nuclear power is yep. Madness. It's insane. It takes more energy. Doesn't matter what Rush Limbaugh or John Stossel say. It takes more energy by far to build the ridiculous thing, to mine the uranium, to then process it, enrich it, get the people to dig it and get cancer and die, then to store it, then to bring it on, then to boil water with radioactive material. That's the end. We're boiling water with dangerous radioactive
material. That could end life on planet Earth. That's a dangerous boiler.
Right.
A little overkill on the boiling in that context.
You know, 20-odd thousand-year half-life. It's stupid.
And we would acknowledge it would not exist in a free market because nobody would underwrite the risk.
It doesn't exist. It doesn't exist in a free market. With 100% subsidies, nuclear power doesn't. It has no leg to stand on. So, sure, good stuff, reasonable stuff, but it's sort of, you know, it's a bit hoi polloi. It's kind of a little frayed around the edges, and you can't quite get people to focus, and it's not really – is it a – I don't know what it was. And then there are these big buses, two-decker buses they look like. Well, they're just really tall. And apparently there's this big environmental conference. So I'm going, okay, we're going to get these environmental journalists to be aware that they're – really should be covering issues like Monsanto's slave taking of the entire world, like the nuclear power stuff. Because when you read the New York Times, when you read the Wall Street Journal, I never see an editorial, I never see a front page article going, by the way, it doesn't make any economics, nuclear power makes no economic sense. By the way, what Monsanto is doing could bring the Irish potato famine right here to Iowa. Hmm. By making a monocrop, by making it all one kind of genetically modified nonsense and then spraying stuff.
Although there is some level of in the new media, of course, a lot of it coming out, even acknowledging some of the science now showing that the so-called bugs and beetles are eating the stuff that Monsanto genetically modified, that nature always finds a way.
You said Michael Crichton, and boy, was he right.
Yeah.
Says the Tao Te Ching, nature always finds a way. So I'm there, and I get in front of a couple guys who are reporting, and I talk to them about Monsanto, and I mouth off. And I say, I wish those reporters in there in their very expensive hotel rooms would come out and talk to these environmentalists because, you know, these activists are, you know, activists are a little unhinged. If you've ever been one, you know what I'm saying. Sometimes they care more about the water or the trees or the birds or the turtles or the lakes than they do.
Would it be cruel and unusual to say that sometimes they don't care about their own odor?
Oh,
come on. I'm not just asking. Going back to the...
Hey, let me tell you. Was that an environmental activist or did I run over some? No, it's an, of course, look, so sometimes they get hippie and granola and crunchy.
Yes.
And sometimes they're less connected to sort of regular society than they are to the plight of the dolphin or whatever. But we need these people. They point out the failings of the industrial society. So, you know, I'm there, good, do your thing. And I'm trying to say, hey, you guys over here getting onto your buses, cross the street. I tried and I made some critical comments to one reporter. Said, oh, they're in there drinking their drinks. And they really got to cross the street. These buses are in the way. Well, little did I know that apparently I wasn't supposed to do that. Apparently it wasn't a protest against the environment. It was a we were trying to support.
It was an awareness campaign.
Oh.
Where was your, like, green grass ribbon?
I don't know. We were supposed to be, like, clapping for the people. I didn't understand it because people were banging drums and protesting. I don't know if anybody really understood it. But, look, we were there. So I crossed the street. And if I mischaracterize somebody, for the record, I really am sorry. I think there were good people in that environmental conference over there in Miami. Probably who do great work that I would really admire. Yeah. And I'm sorry if I mischaracterize them, sincerely, from the bottom of my heart.
No, but I mean, if you talk truthfully and honestly about these reporters that work in the old media, I mean, it's a completely controlled corporate culture. The very thing that the so-called environmentalists are protesting against. We want corporations to be nice. Well, why are you talking to reporters?
Thank you. I mean, why not just go down and talk to a prostitute? Because you'll have...
Yeah, well, that's it. They call it prostitute.
Right. Well, I went and I did due diligence and I followed and I stayed and I talked with one long-term environmentalist. He had been in it for 50 years.
Is he a professor or something?
And he had become a professor. And I talked to another long-term environmentalist who, guess what, became a professor.
Okay.
That, you know, and we're seeing that thing that the Limbaughs and the Savages complain about.
Yeah.
You know, the old lefties who sort of burn out. They never really get what they hope to get done. And then they sit in the universities and inculcate people with ideas. And I talked to one, look, really nice lady, right?
Okay.
But I'm talking with her, and I'm saying, do you cover pharma? Oh, yeah. Do you cover 9/11? Well, I talked to one professor about 9/11, and he pretty much assured me what happened. Well, who did you talk to? Well, it turns out she talked to Stephen Jones from formerly of Brigham Young University. But instead of just saying, oh, yeah, 9/11 was an intelligence operation, no way the official story is true, it's all couched in, well,
I hope did, nobody's listening
yeah,
to me when I say this.
I did talk right. to another professor, and The you get this sort of piglet suckling piglet thing. You know, it's like the snake eating its tail.
Well, I mean, I don't like to hang out with people like that.
No, it was not fun.
No.
And then I sat in the lobby at the end. I talked to a guy, again, really nice guy, like never would hurt a fly, and he's fought for a couple acres of land in the Everglades for a long time. Maybe a couple miles, maybe a few miles, maybe a few dozen miles of
yeah.
land that nobody can ever live in.
Okay, well, how did you upset this guy? Because I know this is coming. What'd you do?
Look, I tried to remain unbalanced for most of that.
Did you say unbalanced?
Unbalanced.
Okay,
yeah.
Just check.
And he was just like, you couldn't fault him. He was a sweet older guy. And he clearly had worked for a long time. So I said, okay, so you've gotten your handful of bits of land in the Everglades, right?
Okay.
And he also worked for something that I totally think is valid, which is the cleanliness of water that people are bathing in or swimming in down here. He thought it had become very contaminated. I think that's a great point. I said, like Africa? Yeah. Oh, we'll do this. You know,
yeah?
We're gonna hit a commercial before I get through this story. But I did ask that first lady professor, and I said, "Oh, you know about 9/11 a little bit? You're not going to say it, but you know about it. How about AIDS? Oh, AIDS. Oh, you know those pharmaceutical." And immediately it was going to be how the pharmaceutical companies like charge too much for the drugs. And I said, "Wait a second. Do you know about HIV testing? Do you know that it's totally fraudulent? Do you know that 34 out of 34 cases in the last 2 years have been all HIV charges have been dropped because of the OMSJ?
Was she aware of it?
Will you look into HIV testing? Oh, well, listen. And then she began to lecture me on how I'm supposed to talk to people. And I said,
whoa.
And
lecture you on how to talk to people?
And I said, just do me a favor. I didn't say, will you go look up? You're a professor. You're an intellectual, supposedly. You're an academic, supposedly. We're both journalists, supposedly. Will you go look up HIV testing and see if it does come up positive for everything? Pause, silence.
Yes. What was going on in her head? What do you think? What'd you see?
I'm just telling you that liberal theology runs deep.
Right. You really challenged her church, did
yeah.
you not?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's disappointing to see that, but it's not unexpected. And as far as the other guy, the nice old guy that's a professor.
Well, we'll get into that.
Yeah, we will? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. In a couple of minutes before I have to really break. But this hour on the Robert Scott Bell Show, we're going to carry on from Jonathan Emord as well. We've got some clips we're going to play you from Meet the Press last Sunday. Ron Paul was interviewed.
Well, Ron Paul came up.
Yeah, well, he came up in the discussions. Oh, boy. Yeah, well, that'll lead to some very interesting things because I think that they believe in the worship of the state as well.
Yep.
As the worship of some kind of environmental regulation gods. And this is problematic because the reality is under these large regulatory bureaucracies, we've actually seen more environmental destruction than less. I mean, you could always point to one thing, say, oh, we've had an improvement here, but corporatism runs amok, especially in the regulatory environment in Washington, D.C., where these corporations and multinationals can lobby special privileges. They might pay a few shekels here or there, and then they can look the other way, and they can pollute as much or more than anybody else. Look at the sugar industry in Florida as evidence that you want to talk about destruction of the Everglades, what they've done over the years, in the midst of an EPA, a federal EPA. So we've got that controversial topic, as always here on the Robert Scott Bell Show, especially when we have our good friend Liam Sheff, the rabble-rouser, troublemaker,
ne'er-do-well,
conspiratorial reality-ist, this guy. Yeah, we're having a good time here. 866-939-BELL is the number. As always, call in 24-7, leave a message. RobertScottBell.com as well as LiamSheff.com. I've got all the links up. And, of course, thank you for signing up at NaturalNewsRadio.com for the daily email alerts. And that will get you all the information you need to know with all the links right to your inbox every day during the week. So thank you for being here. Liam, we got more to do this hour. Let's do it. Stand by. Coming right back.
Why do you listen to the Robert Scott Bell Show?
Bravery and integrity is amazing, and it's much needed.
I love, love, love your show.
I love the show, like all the things that you're doing with Mike Adams and all the writers at Natural News.
To be quite frank with you, I think the show is the biggest breath of fresh air we've found.
Call Robert now at 866-939-2355. That's 866-939-BELL.
Hello, this is Jonathan Wagner. We have an internet website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, that carries many of the products discussed on Robert's show, including the 100% whole food chromium and selenium, silica, as well as Sovereign Silver and Nordic Naturals. Choosetobehealthy.com features the Rolls Royce of probiotics. It's Dr. O'Hara's probiotics. Dr. O'Hara, a world-renowned microbiologist, formulated a unique probiotic that blends ancient Japanese fermentation methods with 21st century technology. No refrigeration is needed. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics contains the strongest lactic acid bacteria known to man based on scientific laboratory research. 6.25 times stronger. Quite simply, it works and works very well. So go to our website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, or call us toll-free, 866-424-1077. That's 866-424-1077. We're here to help.
Since the 1920s, people around the world have been using radio frequencies to safeguard the health of themselves and their families. Through this tested technology, pioneered by Royal Raymond Rife, researchers have found that specific radio frequencies can eliminate viruses, bacteria, molds, and parasites without harming normal healthy cells. Frequency technology could help millions now suffering from various infections, even arthritis, herpes, Lyme disease, and other painful chronic conditions. The BCX Ultra Frequency Instrument has been developed over a period of 30 years. The BCX Ultra is one of the most powerful healing tools ever. Turn ill health around. Enjoy life again. Start learning about the BCX Ultra today. Visit bioelectricsforhealth.com or call 1-800-936-6240. That's 1-800-936-6240. Call today and start the healing.
Robert Scott Bell Show.
Environmentalism, is it a religious, a dangerous cult? Is it filled with naive do-gooders or well-meaning, knowledgeable professors that actually have solutions? We're finding that out today with Liam Sheff here, the conspiracy realist, investigative journalist, and rabble-rouser troublemaker, all that we say. We love him. And Liam, thanks again for being out there in the field and reporting back to us. I'm just shocked by, I guess I shouldn't be, but the fact that you asked a question of a professor, right, this woman professor, and she got, I guess, kind of testy with it. Now, this is not how you interact with people. Was your tone of voice bad? What was it really? What do you think was triggering her?
No blue language. I was being friendly, if academically, I don't know. I wouldn't say challenging. I just said, do you know about this? Okay, how about this one? Oh, good. Okay, what do we know about this? And I said, oh, do you understand AIDS in Africa? Do you understand we've been sold this thing as a sex problem when, in fact, it is the poverty? She said, oh, I think it's the poverty and also the sex.
Okay.
I said, but wait a second. Do you understand how HIV testing works? Oh, well, I was there in the 80s, and the gay guys were getting, you know, the poor kids in my class were getting, and I thought, were they doing drugs? Oh, no. Were they doing poppers?
Oh, boy, you nailed her on that. She was not pleasantly pleased.
Yeah. So I said, let's just talk about HIV testing for a second, at which point she said, now, there's a way to present this information and that you will just get much further with. And I said, wait a second, I just want to know, will you look up HIV testing?
An academic question. She's a professor, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
If she had said, will you look up the Illuminati? I'd say, yeah, sure.
Okay.
Will you look up UFOs? I guess so.
Uh-huh.
Will you look up GMOs? I already have.
Right.
I'm happy to do it again.
But she didn't ask you those things.
No. I said, will you look up HIV? Now, if I had said, so it wasn't my tone. If I had said, hey, and that George Bush, I mean.
So you asked a forbidden question.
I asked her, but if I had said George Bush was worse than Hitler and he eats his own children, she would have said, he was.
Yeah.
I offended the wrong principle of the religion. You see,
right.
I didn't go for the normal bad guy. I went for pharma. I went for the belief in science or scientism. The scientism believes that HIV tests work without asking what they are. They believe that Hep C tests really test for Hep C when they don't. They don't test for anything but a little liver malfunction. There's no virus there. The same thing happened with the second professor. He was talking about science. The nice, really nice guy, second guy I talked to him for an hour. I mean, he told me water stuff, looking after land in the Everglades, that was his thing. Okay, what about pharma? Oh, I'm not as worried about pharma as I am about the water quality. Okay, but you know the drugs go into the water and people drink that. Well, yes, but what about, who are you going to vote for? Oh, this came up.
Uh-oh.
Who are you going
to
vote
for? Now, are you talking to the old guy?
Yeah, the older guy.
Okay, all right.
No, he's part of an environmental consulting thing, I think. He's a long, long time journalist. I think he's an activist. I think he's gotten a fair amount done. He was a very nice guy.
Okay.
He was academic. When he didn't want to hear me, he would turn his head away and pretend to listen and then talk over me. He was definitely academic.
Yeah, you could see that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He had made up his mind what his answer was going to be a few seconds into me starting, like, opening my mouth. So he was that. But he wasn't mean and he wasn't hot-headed. And I didn't push him.
Okay.
But I said, Oh, global warming, global climate change. I said, now I'm an environmental, like I owned a car for 6 months and I'm 40. That's it.
You've got street cred on this. You eat low on the food chain, right? You've been biking almost your whole life. You don't have your own car. You're a public transport guy.
Right.
I mean, if there's anybody that's got street credibility on environmentalism by the way you live,
right,
you got it.
Right. I'm very low on the consumption chain. I'm not an excessive consumer, all that kind of stuff. And I really mostly revile most of what modern America has become. So I really don't fit in very well. But and I said all this to him. And I said, so I'm your guy. Look, but in terms of global climate change, it used to be global freezing. Now it's global warming. No, it's global climate change now. I said, things have changed a lot over history. Do you ever look at the sun cycle? Do we know enough about how the Earth interacts with the sun? I'm not saying that we should. I don't like big factories. I'm not wanting more of them. But
yeah.
But is this really the rallying cry, or can't we go with toxicology as an
argument? Thank you. I've been arguing that for years, that the environmentalists, they screwed up. If they really believed in what they believe in, they would have abandoned the global warming concept because it was not supported, and they keep changing it, shifting the goalposts, right? And so they look foolish. They could have gone toxicological, boom, bingo. Nobody could have defeated them on it.
No,
they didn't do it. Al Gore could have done that.
Right.
As a buffoon as Al Gore can be, he would have been, you couldn't have discredited him on that issue.
No, no, there would have been too much evidence, and I guess
what... But I think that hits too hard at the heart of what is really the problem, and these movements are not designed, in my mind, to actually change things, maybe incrementally or a little bit.
Tiny bit.
Designed to be perpetual,
right,
to raise money, and to maintain the status quo, the control of the status quo. They are co-opted, corrupted, and the very industry that they all want to, we want nicer, they're like, here, we'll give you some money, just keep doing that, but don't do this. And they're owned.
Right. And I was talking to a passionate, hot-headed activist, and she was talking about the turtle situation, and apparently there are factions within factions. There are factions within activist groups. So some of the turtle-saving people, and it's good. We should, you know, Florida should care a little bit about its wildlife. It really should. It's not a small thing. All these turtles get run over on the road. People laugh. Look, it's just for the hotels to turn off their lights at night or come up with an alternative plan, but they don't. So apparently there are people taking that over who just want to sell t-shirts and cookies and make it kind of a for-profit thing where you can come and save a turtle and then maybe 15 turtles. So it's always the for-profit thing. It always gets corrupted, co-opted, yeah, and destroyed. On the other hand, there are these people doing a rally, which I didn't quite get. I'm afraid I broke their rally, I guess.
It wasn't a protest, but they're a protest sign.
I know.
What is that?
I actually got a note from somebody. It wasn't a protest, and protest was all in capital letters. Like, yeah, that's the way it felt to me,
well,
too.
Well, for you, it was a pretest, and you failed.
It was a with people standing out chanting, heck no, you know what I'm saying, won't, right, and all these other kinds of, that's protest language, so I got confused by the activity.
Listen, they didn't give you the secret handshake, Liam.
But I did ask that professor about who you're going to vote for, and he said, oh, well, I would vote for Obama, because I said, wait a second, Obama, didn't he just increase the number of troops in Afghanistan? Aren't we continuing to wage perpetual war? Didn't we invade more or less Libya, kill an American citizen, even though he's a bad guy? And isn't Gaddafi now just being strung around like Hector around the walls of Priam and, yeah, in the Iliad? You know, like we're just spoiling his body for the troops. Wait a second. You're going to vote for Obama? I mean, that was NATO, but yay, Obama.
Right. And what did he say to that?
I said, well, you know, the EPA is better. I thought, wait a second, the EPA. What about Ron Paul? Oh, I've heard of Ron Paul. Okay, so would you ever vote for him? No, he's a racist.
What?
He's a racist. I said, wait a second. Have you talked to him? No, but I know from some people in Texas that he's a racist. Well, what people in Texas? Well, I know that he's a racist, right, from some people in Texas. Well, what was the law that he passed that was racist? Well, the people I know, uh-huh, that he was a... Did he pass a law that was racist? No, he was not a successful racist.
What? You mean successful racists get laws passed? What is that?
So, in other words, I'm not going to vote for Ron Paul because some people I know said probably that he wasn't going to support some kind of affirmative action thing. I mean, it was probably some people going, give us money. And Ron Paul said, no, that's not the state's job.
Yeah.
You know, we have to have a clean, even playing field, and then everybody can do what they want.
Right.
That's his consistent
But this
method.
Doesn't seem like a professor that has achieved high levels of academia. I guess maybe it does, but I mean, you just say, oh, somebody said he was a racist, so that's your level of proof and evidence?
If he's a bit, you know, one of them was a professor. I remember him being, maybe he was a businessman with a consulting firm. And whatever he was, a 50-year journalist, environmentalist, what about Ron Paul? What about pulling away from the federal government as the arbiter of all things in America? Don't you think it would be better to kind of fight these fights locally? Oh, no, we haven't gotten any foothold until the EPA came along. You mean if the EPA didn't regulate every state badly, like when Christine Todd Whitman let the people of New York breathe in the asbestos after the World Trade Centers blew up, that was the EPA, like the Superfund sites that were allowed before they were cleaned up, that was talk to Aaron Brockovich about the EPA.
Yeah.
If we didn't have this lovely EPA, I guess what? We'd have to fight on the local level?
Well, the EPA has protected polluters, enabled polluters, in fact. You know, having an EPA is like having an FDA. It basically absolves these companies of any direct consequence for their action. They may get fined a bit, but then nobody that's truly harmed is ever made whole again in this way.
Isn't cap and trade an EPA? allowed
yeah,
thing?
Yeah, cap and trade was all designed to be the next bubble, and I think that that's where Al Gore was going to make even more billions, the idea that you could trade pollution credits. Like, we can pay this, and we'll get to pollute more than you.
Right. We can pollute all we want, and if I give you $10, I didn't pollute.
You got it. That's the guy, and that's what the professor's arguing for.
Right. So he's in. Well, he wasn't arguing in favor for cap and trade. I don't want to mischaracterize.
Okay.
But he was. I think that he seemed to be aware that that was over and it wasn't a great thing. But he's arguing for the EPA over local state government. So what if Florida had the FEPA, the FEPA, the Florida EPA, right? And you had to be involved and you had to fight the bloody battles on the stage of Florida. And if all news was really local news, because the federal government really didn't matter anymore except in certain matters of statehood or nationhood, if we were being attacked by a foreign country, which will not happen, then we refocus on the local. Then Massachusetts policy becomes the property and business and obsession of people of Massachusetts, which it yeah. very much is, by
did,
the way.
Did you get into the idea of property rights, defense of property rights? Because this is a completely abandoned concept among the environmentalist movement, to recognize that a government should be an arbiter, if you will, in a constitutional sense of, if you have a grievance, that they would be a neutral court. You can go in and say, hey, look, Monsanto or XYZ Dow Chemical Company poisoned my land, my property, my air, my water. They have no right to do that. And the government, in a true sense of a constitutional sense, would say, you're right, they don't. They need to restore the environment, make it whole again. But right now with the EPA, they don't have any recourse, the people. The states hardly have any recourse. And that's the point, that these environmentalists, and shall I say wacko, I get a little annoyed here, to use this language, don't get the real way we could be effectively combating the polluters and shutting them down. And it ain't because the EPA, they're bought off. That's the way it goes at the federal level.
Yeah, they're the revolving door of the FDA. There's a revolving door at the EPA.
Yeah.
The same guys who are in the one committee to pollute then become in the committee to regulate pollution, and they pat themselves on the back and they give themselves a new garage and a new Lexus and a new boat. That's how it works. That's why I'm not. That's why I like the 10th Amendment Center. That's why I like Nullify Now. I asked a couple people if they heard of it. There was one kid at the whole thing with an End the Fed sign.
Really?
One of 120 people.
We got some work to do here, Liam.
I hears you.
Yeah, I hears you. But it's like, how do you stomach being? It's like when I asked Jonathan Eward, how do you handle being in the belly of the beast in D.C.? But sometimes you're made. You got to vent that spleen and move on. But
some of us are strange. We're built for combat. You know, I don't know what it is. Ron Paul may be one of those guys. He was on Meet the Press this last weekend, and he actually was given some 15 minutes to speak. I didn't know what to do.
Right, with very little or no interruption, David Gregory.
Just questions.
Well, when we come back from this break, we're going to hear some of that. If you did not see it, you're going to hear some of it. We're going to comment on it with Liam Sheff. And, of course, listen, just say thanks to our sponsors for making this message of healing, of liberty, of empowerment possible every day right here on Natural News Radio. Thanks as well to the Prepper Podcast Network at prepperpodcast.com and everybody else picking up The Robert Scott Bell Show. Thanks for being here. We'll be back with Liam Sheff and the audio of Ron Paul after this.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Pharmacological research from universities all over the world have proven that papaya supplements have tremendous health benefits. At the One Stop Health Shop, that's one-stop-health-shop.com, you'll find our international bestseller, Papaya Leaf Extract. Its natural probiotic formula supports your white blood cells, reduces oxidative stress, and strengthens your immune system. Papaya is one of the richest sources of antioxidants in the world and up to 20 times more powerful than vitamin E. One Stop Health Shop carries a large fermented papaya product selection. Our supplements are all natural, certified organic, GMO-free, and made right here in Australia. But they are shipped to you anywhere in the world free of charge. Take advantage of our limited time down under prices and order now. Don't wait. Visit the One Stop Health Shop. That's one-stop-health-shop.com for all your nutraceutical needs and get free shipping on all products ordered. one-stop-health-shop.com.
Dr. Teresa Dale here with an urgent message for you. Are you seeking a natural solution for hormone balance? Do you now use any hormone replacement? Do you suffer from menopause or low T? Do you want results using safe, natural, and trusted products? We have thousands of test results proving the efficacy of our products. I created a proven homeopathic system and the only five-element saliva test in the world used by thousands of health providers and now available to you. Did you know there are side effects to using bioidentical hormones in any HRT? Don't wait. Get my five-element saliva test and get your hormones balanced. Don't risk cancer and other side effects. Call us, 800-219-1261. That's 800-219-1261. Or visit naturalhealingpro.com.
Why is it so many people suffer from so many illnesses today? Why don't doctors know how to help you? Could it be that our doctors don't know how because there's a nutrition solution and they only know about drugs? Over 68 diseases are connected to a deficiency of glutathione. The missing ingredient to increasing your body's production of glutathione is cysteine. Raising your glutathione production protects you from cancer, heart disease, Parkinson's, macular degeneration, lung disease, digestive diseases, diabetes, Alzheimer's, ALS, rheumatoid arthritis, and lupus. Nature's richest source of cysteine is unheated whey. Heating can damage much of the cysteine. One World Whey is the first undamaged whey protein on the market. Using One World Whey may support optimal glutathione production unlike any other food or supplement you've ever taken. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
We interrupt our program to bring you a special broadcast.
Robert Ryan.
He is tenacious, isn't he?
Scott.
He's
Scott,
a brave Scott, and a decent Scott, man. He's a pioneer.
Bell.
This message must be read in every newspaper, heard on every radio, seen on every television.
The Robert Scott Bell Show. Robert Scott Bell Show.
Liam, I remember when we started working on some projects together more recently, and we began talking. I introduced you to Ron Paul, and you had not been politically active, and rightly so, because it's so disgusting. Well, you know, who's up there but a bunch of shills and phonies and lizards, you know? And learning of Ron Paul, you know, you were, you know, astonished as well, as we all were when we first saw this guy. Is this for real? Is this guy actually speaking what I heard him speak? He actually knows history, references it in context, and trying to teach people why things are the way they are today. And in your own way, in this, at this environmental conference, you're sitting there trying to put that perspective for people, even professors that wouldn't want to go there. And then, you know, so we've seen this evolution in more people of the Republican Party, and neither of us claim to be Republicans any more than we claim to be Democrats, except we're for liberty, right? We're for freedom and honoring and you know, let's say respecting life. But, you know, now we're seeing more and more people coming along to say, hey, that Ron Paul, man, he's very interesting. But this professor shut him down, said, no, he's just racist.
Right. Does he have any racist policies? No. So is he racist? Yes. Why? Because somebody told me he was. Who are you going to vote for? Obama. Why? Because he's clearly the Democrat, and Democrats are, why are they associated with environmentalism? I have no idea. Because Jimmy Carter put some stuff on the roof of the White House? That was a long time ago, and Jimmy Carter let a lot of stuff through anyway that wasn't friendly to the environment. Right. I talked to him, actually, he answered one question about the EPA. I said, when's the last thing the EPA did? He actually, this is one of the things I liked about him. He would think, and then he would answer, and he'd say, well, I guess it was in 72 or 3. I said, Nixon?
Wow.
So he wasn't, although he was, forgive me, slightly foolish for not listening to himself, he did know.
He knew something from the 70s.
He knew something that was true. He just didn't
add it all. It must have been a flashback.
Didn't add it all up. I was not introduced to Ron Paul. I didn't meet him personally. I met his work and his rhetoric, if it's rhetoric, or his singular policy, which has not shifted for all of his adult career anyway. Yeah. Since he's been saying things, you can find tapes 30 years old in which he's saying more or less the same thing. And it's not a boring old dry thing. It's not a line. It's, this is what government is for. This is what taxes should be for and how they should be implemented and where they should not be implemented. Something I found very interesting. Ron Paul talks about the CIA. When he talks about America, the shining city on the hill, he also talks about the CIA interfering with other countries' sovereignty, overthrowing foreign leaders. I've never, ever heard anybody running for any office except from the I'm from the Green Party who doesn't want to be elected party,
right?
You know,
yeah,
say
there's a guy that's been elected 10-11 times now, running for president for the third time and speaking things that, you know, used to be fringed and marginalized and can no longer be so because it's become so apparent and obvious to so many more people.
Yeah, I'm from the standing on my left foot and thumbing my nose at the flag party. Well, no, he's not. He's actually saying, I want this to work as a country, which means the states have to work. We have to pull back to federalism. We have to nullify things that don't work. States have a right to make their own choices about most things. And then he says, well, he talks about the CIA, and he's asked, and there's a clip from the, was it Meet the Press show?
Yes, yes.
And the interviewer says, oh, dear Lord. Well, can we just play
sure,
it?
Sure, yeah.
Okay, here we go.
You actually, in October at the press club, described our foreign policy this way. I'll show it for you.
We have crossed that barrier from republic to dictatorship, to tyranny, to empire.
To empire. If you look at what happened in Libya, do you believe that the United States has a moral responsibility to deal with humanitarian crisis anywhere in the world?
No, only voluntarily. We don't have authority in the Constitution to get involved in internal affairs or get involved in entangling alliances. The Constitution doesn't give the authority. They get us into more trouble. They undermine our national defense, and they cause a lot of trouble. If you want to do it voluntarily and get involved, you can volunteer and go over there and don't send your money. But I don't, as a president, have the authority to go. If our national security is threatened, then you do it properly. This president now has gone in there on his own. He has flaunted the responsibility to go to the Congress. He doesn't get permission. And we went over, it wouldn't have happened without our money and our drones and our missiles and all, and it happened. So we're responsible for the chaos.
Do you think the drone war that this administration is waging is illegal?
Yes, it is. It's illegal under international law, and there's no authority in our Constitution that we can just willy-nilly drop bombs on anybody that we want.
How's that for environmentalism? Dropping uranium-depleted bombs all over the world.
On anybody that we want. I'm going to vote for Obama because I want the EPA to stand in place, but I'm not going to look at other policies. And here, and I, there's the rub, right? That's where we get mad at single point meditators, single point activists, single point, right?
Yeah.
Single issue.
I mean, it's the drone wars. Star Wars, the drone wars now we've got. And, you know, the leftists would be absolutely conniptioning daily if this were Bush doing this.
Oh,
and
yeah.
They did.
And they did.
And I thought if they had integrity, they would have kept it going, but it just dropped away when Obama became president and he doubled down on Bush policies.
He's king of the libs because they still live, you know, we all still live in these sort of kingdom ideas. He's king of the liberals. George Bush was king for a lot of, well, I don't know, not real conservatives, but people who identified as such. So there was no wrong he could do. And if you said anything bad about him or Karl Rove, there's a lovely figure that, you know, history hopefully will remember all that he did, kind of a Goring or a Goebbels to George Bush. Yeah, I'll say that. I don't mind saying it. I've read about all the things that Karl Rove's done. I've read the reports. So we're allowed to say that if you're on the left about Karl Rove, but if you say what Ron Paul just said, somehow a liberal Democrat who is environmentalist won't vote for you because you're a racist. Wait a second. He doesn't want to drop bombs on the brown-skinned people. Who is dropping bombs on the brown-skinned people? Who's blowing up their leaders? That would be, Barack Obama. Yeah. And George Bush. One of the same.
Yeah. It's really a stunning
thing. And where does
the
money come from? And this is another thing I like about Ron Paul. Where does the money come from this? Hey, we got to go kick their arses. We got to run over there and beat them up. Wait a second. With what? Are you going to go over there? I like what he said. If you're so motivated to participate in a foreign war, go join their army.
Yeah, volunteer. No one's stopping you.
People used to join the French Foreign Legion from all over the world because they wanted adventure and to fight for some cause.
Yeah.
You can still do it. And we should allow ourselves to participate. And no, we're not. Oh, but wait a second. What if there's a Holocaust? Don't you think we'll maybe get an idea that somebody's building giant machines of war to exterminate whole groups of people? And don't you think that maybe there'll be an uprising in that country? By the way, this has happened in Africa for the last... We've stood by while this happens over and over again. It happens every country. It happens every year in this country. With pills.
The FDA Holocaust. That's
right. We don't put people in chambers anymore. We just do it in their houses. They die in their houses. Yeah. They get Zyklon in their houses. We did a dioxin Holocaust in Vietnam. This country's never paid war reparations to the Vietnamese. We've tortured them for 40 years or some odd thing now.
Much less those that went over in the Vietnam police action that were our soldiers, and they came back harmed and cancerous and are still dealing, those that are still alive, with horrible things.
Broken and their children children had terrible, terrible, mortifying birth defects because they were exposed to dioxin.
But you're asking, where do they get the money?
The money,
right?
From, well, Ron Paul had something to say about that, too.
Let me ask you about the role of government. You've said about taxation, in a way that doesn't mince his words, the following. Taxation is immoral, you told the Libertarian Party News. Would you scrap the tax code altogether?
That'd be a pretty good idea, a pretty good start. I can qualify it if I'm allowed. Taxation is theft. When you take money from one group to give it to another, when you transfer the wealth. Now, taxation could be accomplished with user fees and, you know, highway fees and gasoline taxes and import taxes. But the income tax is based on the assumption that the government owns you, owns all your income, and provides the conditions on which they allow you to keep a certain percentage. That, to me, is immoral, and the founders didn't like it. That's why the Constitution had to be amended in 1913.
You are talking about slavery. He is talking about slavery. This is what the right and the left, even, who was it, Michelle Bachmann at the last debate said, oh, well, everybody should pay, even if it's a dollar, right? They should take that money from you, not voluntarily, because they like to say it's voluntary. But the idea here is that they own 100% of you, and they get to dictate how much you get to keep.
On the radio this weekend on Neural Prosthetic Radio, or NPR, Neural Prosthetic is the illusion that you're thinking. I listen sometimes to NPR on the weekend to make myself slightly dizzy and sick. There is a guy I like on that network called Garrison Keillor. He's a great American storyteller. He really is.
Amazing guy.
Right. Admiration for his storytelling. Not as much for his singing, but I think he would agree. but you can't help but to love the guy. Nevertheless, they do a program, and they do these funny skits, old-time radio skits, and they have a right-wing conservative banker in love with one of the activists from Occupy Wall Street. And the Occupy Wall Street girl is saying, you have to pay 60, you're going to pay 60% in taxes, and you're going to love it. And he says, that's right, baby, as long as you make me do it, I'll love it. And it's a very funny sort of sadomasochistic relationship that they're playing at. It's sophisticated, it's funny. But this is sort of, and Garrison Keillor's come out and he says, I'm a tax and spend liberal. He actually believes this, that you're supposed to tax people 60% of what they earn, not of what they sell in a market, not of what Best Buy sells, not of what you pay for gas.
But the people that are working.
But if I go out and I dig a ditch, at the end of the day, you own some of my muscle.
Right.
Or
I
get to keep some of it.
But, this is a plank of the, principal plank of the Communist Manifesto, of which pretty much every plank is in force in some aspect of American government now. And this is something that the ownership of all life is, is how it's done. And if you think that slavery was abolished with the Civil War, it was not. It just went deeper into underground, but it affected everybody regardless of skin color. And that is what the income tax is. We own all of you. We get to let you keep whatever we say, and we don't like you. Now with democracy, right? We're supposed to be a representative republic, right? A Republican form of government. With a democracy, it's like 51% paying no taxes. We're voting out our ability need to pay, and now we're going after the so-called wealthy people. Whether they got it by ill-gotten gains, as they talk about it, or not, it's irrelevant. The point is there are legitimate ways, and this is the point of Ron Paul, lawful ways that the Constitution had described for collection of taxes, imposed excises, tariffs, imports, user fees, that don't require you to be owned or enslaved. By doing something that you that activity is taxed, and that was a legitimate way that didn't require enslavement of the people, ownership of life itself. And the left doesn't get it, and the right doesn't get it, because who was calling for the abolition of the tax code except for Ron Paul?
Except for Ron Paul. The other guy wants to modify it 9%, 9%, 9%.
Yeah.
Okay, make it fair for everybody. I guess, wait a second, why don't we just pay taxes on things that we buy and use rather than our bodies, mm-hmm. rather than our sweat and our brow and our work? So we talked about environmentalism, and the point isn't that I don't like people to be aware of the environment. I'd like people to be more aware. The point is that if you get into an environmental movement, make sure that you're not just playing penny ante. Make sure you're not just playing tiddlywinks on the sidewalk while the big corporation sort of laughs at you and occasionally drops another penny down at your feet so you can continue to play tiddlywinks. Look at the big picture. The big picture is getting the federal government out of the control of everything everybody does in this country.
Yeah. Well, we'll be back to wrap up today's show on the Robert Scott Bell Show. Been fantastic between Jonathan Emord and our discussion here with Liam Sheff. We've got a little bit more to go. Remember, say thanks to our sponsors. They make this possible. And as well, of course, robertscottbell.com for all the links today. We're coming right back with more Powerful Healing after this.
You're listening to the Godzilla of Health Talk Radio.
Run! It's Godzilla!
It's the Robert Scott Bell Show.
For thousands of years, silver has played an essential role in safeguarding human health. Robert Scott Bell Show listeners know that Sovereign Silver, bioactive silver hydrosol, is the purest and most effective form of silver available. Only Sovereign Silver contains the smallest and most active particles in every bottle, each batch rigorously safety tested to guarantee the highest quality. At only 10 parts per million, Sovereign Silver outperforms other colloidal silvers 50 times more concentrated. Sovereign Silver acts faster than echinacea, oil of oregano, and other immune products. Tastes like water and has more uses than anything else for the immune system. And Sovereign Silver now comes in a topical first aid gel. Use Sovereign Silver gel on cuts, scrapes, minor burns, bug bites, itching, eczema, diaper rash, and more. Sovereign Silver is the number one selling silver brand in the U.S. For a free information packet to order or for a store near you, call 888-328-8840. That's 888-328-8840 or visit sovereignsilver.com.
With natural and man-made disasters and economic turmoil, if we don't get well prepared, we will most certainly regret it. Good readiness must include storage of high-quality food that will build us up rather than tear us down. Much of the storable food available is full of bad fats, salt, sugar, nutrient-poor refined foods, and even MSG. In response, EnerHealth Botanicals has created our 40-day and 40-night 100% organic preparedness pail. It's GMO-free and has a 10 to 20-year shelf life if stored at 60 degrees or less. Some of the items need cooking, some can be eaten dry, while some can be soaked and sprouted. These are selling out fast at third the price of storable food packages. Call us at 866-762-9238. That's 866-762-9238. Or go to enerfood.com, E-N-E-R-F-O-O-D.com. 866-762-9238. Or go to E-N-E-R-F-O-O-D.com.
In the health world through the power of radio. It's the Robert Scott Bell Show.
Liam, last hour I was discussing with Jonathan Ebord a lot about the political climate, the budget cuts that are necessary to balance the budget, or else we're, you know, beyond disaster as a nation. It's just over. I mean, we even talked about the consideration of if Ron Paul is not the guy. You know, of course, we're no fans of Obama, none of us here, based on what he's done. Not because he's darker skinned or anything. It has nothing to do with it. Pigment. We've discussed racism on this show as well. But more or less policy. And you know, do we want to be enslaved to debt, have our children and grandkids done for before they're even born? When we talk about budgetary issues, or let's say we talk about the choices we have, if you understand why I say Ron Paul or nobody, there's real good reason. And David Gregory asked him a point about that in the Meet the Press thing. Go ahead and run that clip.
You wrote in your book, Liberty Defined, about the fact that politics doesn't really offer a lot of choices. This is what you said. When it comes to any significant differences on foreign policy, economic intervention, the Federal Reserve, a strong executive branch, a welfareism mixed with corporatism, both parties are very much alike. The major arguments in hotly contested presidential races are mostly for public consumption to convince the people they actually have a choice. Are you saying that if Mitt Romney is the nominee, there's no choice between him and President Obama for voters next fall?
Well, you could probably figure out some choices, but you have to figure out which position that we're looking at with Mitt Romney. You know, it changes. But my point is, would there be a change in foreign policy? No, there would not be. Would either one of them work on a true audit of the Fed and a change in monetary policy that the Federal Reserve can't monetize debt? No. Would they address the entitlement system? Would they ever address either one? That we should have concern about our debt and cut something like $1 trillion because we're on the road to fiscal insanity and a breakdown of the world financial market? No, there would not be a significant difference between the two, although on the edges maybe. I think Mitt Romney now is probably very sincere about his right to life issue, and probably on the tax issues there would be some differences. But the big issues, the big policies, regardless, I mean, Obama was elected elected as a peace candidate and expanded the war, and he goes into war without even congressional approval. I mean, when the Republicans get in and they're against regulations, they give you no child left behind, prescription drug programs, and Sarbanes-Oxley. So no, the regulatory system, the spending, the deficits, the printing of money, they stay the same. And that's what the streets are telling us. Whether it's the occupiers or whether it's the Tea Party people, they're saying enough is enough. They want some changes, and that's what they're looking for.
Yeah, this is the point of dancing on the head of a pin, right? How many angels? It's like everybody, like these politically astute professors, they're ignoring the essence of that argument completely, which is life and death of the nation, and dancing around, well, Obama will have a better EPA than even Romney or whatever, if it's really going to change. And see, this is the disaster of academia. And I bashed and trashed academia legitimately so, and you've been in the midst of them and see where they do this. But it's not just academia, but the idea that you can just ignore the essence of life itself and dance around with whether you have a hangnail or not.
Yeah, this brings to mind so much. I remember at that same conference the other day, whatever it was, Sunday, I talked to those two. One was a professor, I think the other one was. He might have been now running an environmental firm or some such thing. And there was another guy who was a longtime newsman who came along. And I was asking him why I don't ever read about Monsanto on the editorial pages. And the story was, again, we don't run that part of the paper. You don't what?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's business runs that part of the paper. That's, you know how, you know, the evil
Excuse
corporations
me?
Run that part of the paper. Really?
Right. Not your part?
You don't, yeah. Your part's okay, their part's not. You can't actually cross over and get an editorial about all the terrible things that are happening in your part of the world, the environment. I mean, I guess the mistake I made was I thought Monsanto was part of the environmental discussion. I thought we were part of the environment. I think that's where I'm different than an environmentalist. I think that's one of the problems I have. I think that what I eat is part of the environment, and the way we grow food is part of the environment. And I know that a lot of people get that, including people at that rally. I know a lot of them get that, believe me. And I could name them, but I'll just leave them
but,
out.
But, you know,
it.
If we save blades of grass in the Everglades, I mean, that's great. I got nothing against that.
Nothing against it,
but... you know, if you're ignoring the GMO issue, if you're ignoring the pesticides in all of our food issue, if you're annoyed by the mercury in the environment issue.
Aware of vaccination, if you're not aware of fake HIV tests and the poison of AIDS drugs, which all get into our water anyway, and the Prozac and Zoloft and Xanax that's in our bloody
How
water.
How many people have to die of FDA-approved medications until it matters to an environmentalist?
Until one environmentalist wakes up.
Right. Right. But if it hurts the sea turtle, which I like sea turtles.
Sure.
But come on, what about the humans?
Right. And a lot of the environmentalists do both. But, you know, the guys at the top are so ultra focused. It's like that guy at the editorial thing. He says he's a newsman. His story gets on D47. Nobody ever sees it. But because he's writing an honest story, he can sleep at night. Who cares?
Right.
Go and make a fight. Go and cross the line. Go piss some people off. Don't worry about what they think of you. Go piss some people off in editorial and say, if you guys don't write this, I'm going
to... I just want to get along with everybody. I want everybody to like me.
To like me. Right. I'm going to write. I'm going to go to another paper. I'm going to go to the most greasy libertarian rag I can find and tell them that the Washington Times, Post, New York, this, that, the other thing, will not publish an editorial about Monsanto, even though I have a great story about it. Go... be a muckraker.
Mm-hmm.
I don't respect journalists by and large because they're whores.
Yeah, well,
they're prostitutes.
Prostitutes. Listen, that's why people are reading Natural News. That's why they're reading the things you're putting up on your site, Liam, all the wonderful editorial cartoons, if I can call them that, as well as listening to the Robert Scott Bell Show every day. And getting back to Ron Paul's point that there is no choice. If you go with Romney, who apparently is the front runner by the old media standards, you realize that his top three donors are financial firms, including Goldman Sachs. Explain to me how that's going to change anything about the economy. And who are the number one funders of the Obama reelection campaign?
Sora.
Wall Street.
Mm.
Wall Street, again, the same damn firms. Okay, so Romney, Obama, Wall Street doesn't lose. Hello, you protesters.
The banks always bet on both sides of the war, and the banks always win. You've got to outthink them this time. You can't vote for the bank. Don't vote for the bank. Vote for the guy who's not going to support the bank. There's only one.
I think that's it. How do we refine that message? Because if you vote for Obama, you vote for the bank. If you vote for Romney, you vote for the bank. If you vote for Herman Cain, you most definitely vote for the bank, yeah, the Federal Reserve guy that he is.
And Bachman.
They all want to retain the amount of money coming into the coffers of the federal government because that is the source of their power. Who wants to reduce it? Go ahead and listen to my first hour, my interview with Jonathan Emord. You'll get it eventually. You'll get it. I know. Send it to your friends. It's okay. This is not about partisanship. This is about freedom. This is about the freedom to exist on planet Earth without slavery. Slavery is not about the color of your skin. It's about the color of the Federal Reserve note money and how much they can extract from you and your kids and the kids yet to be born. And that is what we're talking about here. If you believe in a culture of life, yes, we're for a clean environment. Liam is for a clean environment. I am for it. We should all be, but not stupidly, by ignoring those that are actually polluting it, corrupting it, and intoxicating not only the planet, but all the people and the animals on it.
Right. And again, let me say thanks to the environmental journalists who are highly open, highly aware, asking all the questions. But let me backtrack a little and say to the people sitting on their laurels, glad because they got some clean water stuff passed in the 70s, get off your arses, move over, get active, stop pretending like your issue is the only issue, open your eyes, get bigger, get wider, open, get your arms wrapped around the bigger problem. It's not just about protecting a few acres when the entire economy, when the entire infrastructure of the world is teetering, and we need to put something, we need to take away the teetering stuff and let ourselves be smaller. Do it locally. Take your passion and fight locally. Be involved locally.
Well said, well said. What an amazing edition of the Robert Scott Bell Show today between Jonathan Emord, the FDA Dragon Slayer, and Liam Sheff, the rabble rouser, the conspiracy realist, and investigative journalist that he is. Thank you for getting out there in the field and coming back and reporting to us on some fascinating interactions with the humans, if you can call them that, out there trying to do their best, but maybe missing the whole point of what we're all about.
There are a lot of good people out there, a lot of people I like, and then I ran into trouble sometimes too.
Yes, troublemaker that he is. We love him. The Robert Scott Bell Show rocks on for health, freedom, and liberty every day here on Natural News Radio. Say thanks to all the sponsors. Thanks to Mike Adams and Natural News as well. And very appreciative that you'd be with us here every day. Please spread the word. Don't assume everybody knows about us. As many people that do, 100 million times more still don't. So get the word out. Shout it out. Thank you for being here once again. I'm here to remind you every day that the power to heal is yours.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
So raise your glasses, you are.